This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. This is part two of off-season hobbies to speed up the return of duck season. What do we got for that? We got any sound effects for that? That's not the one. Crickets? Ooh, yeah. Okay, that's how good my jokes are right there. Well, anyways, I was hoping for the hand clap. I don't know which button that is, but anyways, we're back, guys, for another episode, and gonna move right along. Got another 30 minutes or less, and I promise you I will stay under that this time. some people say I'm rushing stuff too much, and then other people are like, you talk. So I guess you can always turn this off, right? You don't have to listen to it. But again, I really truly do want to be helpful and throw this out there before we start. Don't forget, if you're wanting an amazing choke, pick up a Moeller choke. And this is not a marketing gimmick. This is not marketing hype. This is not Titus just trying to sell things and make himself look good. I promise you, I want to help you guys. I've made the videos. You've seen it. You've heard Jim on the podcast, and I've seen it during duck season. I've shot a lot of chokes, and there's good chokes. But as far as I know, as of right now, there's not a choke that is as good as this and specifically designed for your shotgun like Moeller chokes is. So if you guys want to pick one up, the link's in the description. Put in the code at checkout, MVM2024, all one word, all caps. Get 10% off. All right, let's get going. All right, this is a big one. This will probably suck up a lot of the time, but this is stuff that I do in off-season, the hobbies that I have in off-season to help speed up the return of duck season and to take care of things much needed to be taken care of. And the first one is, and I'm going to say a few things here, prepping, repairing, cleaning, and replacing your duck gear. There's a lot to that. Probably could do a whole episode on that right there. So I don't know how you guys are at the end of duck season. I don't know if you guys just throw everything away like it was, however it was at duck season, which is usually pretty thrashed, right? Some people stay organized. I fairly do. I don't like disorganization, but sometimes you're just completely pooped and you're just like, forget it. I don't even care. Grab what you need. The next day you go. But prepping and getting your stuff organized and ready after the season's over, it just clean and organizing it. I don't wash my decoys at the end of season, honestly, because I feel like they're going to get dusty and just I want to do it before season. Something to kind of get you in the mood too, right? You're like, oh, it's coming up, and it's just stuff you're doing, right? But just prepping them. One of the things me and Thomas have done the last couple of years is we have washed our decoys, every single one of them, which is a lot. We get together on a weekend or an evening. We wash them all with like Dawn just to get all that junk off that's been on them, which probably would be better if we did at the end of the season because that stuff's just sitting on there all off season. But we wash them with Dawn dish soap, kind of wet them, put a little Dawn dish soap all across them, wet them again, and then take a little like a long-handled scrub brush and just kind of go lightly over it and then rinse them off and then let them dry. And then we, and maybe go eat breakfast or do something is what we did before. And then come back and we actually put a clear coat of like semi-gloss or matte, whatever. I used to be against putting shine on it, but now that I've seen both ways, I'm like, I ain't gonna lie, guys. A little bit of sheen on there looks more realistic. Cause I mean, the iridescence of duck's feathers when the sun hits them is pretty shiny. I ain't gonna lie. It's pretty shiny. So that is a tip to doctor up your decoys. Maybe you need to do some painting and touch up some spots. I'm kind of a little bit ADD when it comes to that stuff. Like, it bothers me. Sometimes I don't fix it. I ain't going to say every time I fix it, but it does bother me. And I do have some decoys I need to touch up and fix this season. So I'm about to get the old paint out and touch and patch and get some different colors and make things look pretty again. But prepping the gear, cleaning it, repairing it. I kind of already said that. And it's not just decoys, but like your decoy cart. Maybe the wheel was wonky. Maybe that's something you need to fix or replace. Just any of your gear. Maybe you got to work on your boat. You know, this time, like, man, I've been putting this off. I need to fix this, or replace this, or do this, or make it better, right? Like me and Tom's been saying for a couple years that we want to put, and I can't think of it right now. What is that called? It's going to drive me nuts. It's what, like, and I can see it in my head. Basically, it's like an iPhone clamp or like holder. I have them. I had it with my helicopter all the time, and I got one in the closet right there, but I can't think of it right now. But anyways, what it does, it has like suction cup or a mount, a hard mount that you can twist and clamp onto something. We want to put on our duck boat, we want to have it for our phones, for like Onyx, right? So we can track where we're going and follow our paths or whatever without having to hold the phone in one hand and drive with the other. Just kind of keep hands free when you're taking those hard turns. That way you can hold the handle and then your left hand's driving the boat. Man, I don't know why my mind's going blank of what brand that is that I like to use. I've used it for years in flying helicopters and then putting it on other stuff, but people use it for bikes and stuff like that. But it's pretty cool. And I wish my mind wasn't going blank what the name of that was, but I'll think of it here in a second. But we want to add that to our boat so we don't have to hold it, especially when it's a really cold ride. You don't want to be, you can't really use your phone with gloves on. I don't like to anyways. I mean, I know there's some that can still touch screen through the glove, but I just don't like that. And it doesn't seem like the app works really good. But if you had something hands-free like that, you could keep your hands warm when it's real cold and keep your gloves on and not have to hold something. Prepping gear, like I said, maybe, you know, there's different things that are messed up you need to change out. Maybe you need to change out your Texas rigs or weights are broke or this or that, which I have plenty of that. There's definitely, this season was rough on some gear. I don't know why, but it seemed like a lot of stuff was breaking on me or just getting old or getting beaten up. I had to throw a couple decoys away that sang their last song. So, you know, just getting that in order and getting that lined up. I tell you what, I definitely don't ever want to like start duck season in that position of not being prepared. That's the worst because you're behind the eight ball. I'm sorry, like for the rest of the year. Like it's got to be done before. So definitely that will help speed up time, getting all that stuff done. There's a thousand things. I could do a whole episode on that and maybe I will. Probably some of these I actually will. I'll just make an episode out of it, one specifically, but I just wanted to touch on that. The next one to me is huge. I feel like very huge. Like, okay, let me ask you this. How much do you love duck hunting? Everyone answer that in their mind right now. How much do you like it, right? Do you want to be good at it? Do you want to be successful at it? Or do you just kind of, some people listening to this may just like doing it as a little bit of a hobby. They're not that serious and it's just fun to go out with friends sometimes. That's totally fine. But like if you are seriously dedicated and you are hardcore and you want to be better, then my next tip would be committing to call better. I'm going to be the first to raise my hand and say I duck hunted for years and years and years, never really trying to get better. Practicing during duck season and just calling a lot during duck season, it might get you a little bit more tuned up, but you ain't going to get better. That's not what's going to really get you better. I mean, reading the birds and watching them, when to call and not to call and how to call and this cadence and that and when to feed call. Yes, that you will get better doing that, learning how to read birds. At least I hope we will. But committing to call better takes some serious, serious effort. And I'm talking about hours blowing the call and working and manipulating. You think, I just can't get better. We harassed and gave Travis a hard time on a couple episodes about that, or one of the episodes, I think, getting better. And we basically almost hurt his feelings, I think, because he's like, I can't get better. He felt like he's good enough. And I'm always of the mindset, I can always get better. And I know Travis is too. But like he just kind of at the point in his life, he doesn't care that much to get better than he is right now. Now, I was at the stage, I was around some other callers that were, I think that's what, it's like who you hang around too, right? Again, I always hung with Thomas, Travis, and so we all come to that same level, right? We're all at that same calling level. And it's not bad. We do fine. But then I hunted with some other guys that could really call, like wow, I don't know how good you could sound like a duck. I've heard people do it on videos, which most of the time people are much better than I ever was. But you hunt with some guys that are really good. It pulls you up, right? It makes you want to be better. If it doesn't do that, you must be dead, right? Like, so I get around those guys and I'm like, man, they can really do some things that I would like to do that I feel like would really help my hunting and help my success. So I'm definitely going to say I did not practice much on the off season last year, and it showed. It showed. I know it did. I know what sound I can make and what I've done and what I can't do because I didn't practice it. You don't have the air. You don't have the recall of how to do it without the effort, because you practice it so much it just comes naturally. Like, you have to focus more to do certain things and make certain noises and sounds, or you don't even have the air to do it because you haven't been putting the time in. Because I will tell you this, blowing a single reed or even a cut down takes some air. But it's funny, when I practice and practice and practice, a cut down's not hard. I remember the first time I did a cut down, I couldn't even hardly do it. And I was like sucking air, right? But when you do it all the time, practice on a really hard cut down and then go back to your single read. Oh my goodness, guys. It's night and day, the difference of air you have. If that tip alone is all I give, is just say, hey, buy you the hardest to blow cut down, whatever that may be. I feel like some of the Kirk McColls are actually kind of hard to blow. Like, you can blow them easy, but to get them to sound really good, you got to put a ton of back pressure on there. Blow that call, and that's what I did like 2 years ago. During the summer, I committed to getting better at calling. I've watched Brett Crow, which blows JJ Lair's. I feel like his live duck competitions on YouTube are the best sounding caller, I feel still. I know there's a couple other guys that I'm like, man, those guys are pretty good. But I still feel like Brett has it dialed, especially when it comes to chuckling and feed call and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. His cadence is, it's just probably because I like him, you know, like his style or whatever. But I practiced that and then listened to a lot of live ducks calling. And to be honest with you, a lot of duck callers overdo it. We do more than we really need to do, you know. And it's something I always got to remind myself of, because I feel like I do a little just too much. They hear you, guys. For the most part, they hear you. And if they're not responding to you, you're not either doing the right cadence, or they're just not going to come to you. But when I've seen multiple times, so many times in duck hunting, when I do a certain thing, all of a sudden, boom, that bird twitches and they lock up. It's just something about it. I've also seen them twitch and fly away. And you're like, okay, what did I just tell them? What did I just do to send them leaving that quick? So that is, you got to get better in the hunting environment and learning how to read the ducks, because you can't just get really good at calling and then it carry over and just, they're just going to suck in from the ozone. No, you got to know when and how to do it. And it's a lot less than you think it is. I know 95% of duck hunters overcall, 100%. I wish I could preach that from the rooftop. Stop overcalling. You know, everybody's calling in the pond and everybody's screaming. Those person, when it's that bad and that thick of hunters and everybody in that pond is calling at the same duck, I promise you, wherever they decide to go is not because you're calling at that point, in my opinion, for the most part. It's because you're on the X or you had something in your spread they liked or your spinner or something. Something in that setting was it. Or that's somewhere they just wanted to go. More likely, I feel like it's just where they want to go, right? That's my opinion. Take it or leave it. But commit to calling better. I'm going to do that this season. I'm going to commit to practicing. Practice in your truck at work, which you're going to blow your ears are going to be ringing. I promise you, if you're really hammering down the call. Practice outside, go in your backyard, make your neighbors happy at you. Practice in your house. My beat lab is in my kitchen. It's got wood floors and wood cabinets, and the way it echoes off in there, it sounds good. Maybe too good sometimes. And I go outside in open air and I'm like, man, that sounded way better in the house, you know. But commit, guys. That will speed up your duck season and it will pay off dividends come duck season. All right. Next thing. Pattern your shotgun. And I don't mean just go shoot on paper. It's like, oh, okay, this is what my gun does. No, pattern it. Get the right choke. Most of these choke companies, if you don't want molar, most of these will give you a return policy. Pattern it. Doesn't work for your gun and your ammo. Send it back. Try another one. You know, most of them have it. I know Pattern Master does. I believe Kix does. I know for sure Molar does. Try these chokes out. Get one that looks good. Count the pellets. Do it right. You know, I have videos on my channel. My most recent ones are the best because the old ones are just kind of just a backyard. Just shoot one shot and then compare what they look like, which does something, but not what I'm talking about. When I say patterning, I'm talking about getting the right load choke combo to get that thing dialed in where it's a killing machine, right? So pattern your shotgun. Do the distances, do your hunting distances. You know, if you're mainly shooting birds at 20 yards, pattern your gun at that. If you're shooting mainly 30 yards or 40 yards, pattern your gun at that. See what it does. Get it dialed in. I promise you that will pay off and your kill shot ratio will go way up. Even if you add 5 to 10% going from a 50% shooter to a 60% or a 35% shooter to 45%. Like, most guys aren't as good as they think they are. Like, okay, take a box of 25. How many shells are you shooting to get your limit? And I know the limits are different across the country. Some states are 4, some 5, some 6. Here in California, we're 7. Canada, it's 8. Okay, so with a box of 25 and, you know, your limit's 5, if you had to shoot that whole box, you're shooting 25% for 5 birds. If you shot 25 shells and you shot 5 birds, that's a 25% kill ratio. Okay? So I would encourage us to think about these things as getting better at shooting and patterning your shotgun. That's one way that's going to help it. It's not the only way. It's not going to make you a better shot. It's just going to get that pattern full. You don't want a bunch of big old gaps and blanks. But I know a lot of duck hunters, and me too. Until I started tracking my shots per hunt and my kills, I thought I was better too, technically. But when you start looking at it on paper, and let's say the limit's 7, and if you're happy with your numbers, hey, more power to you. But why not be better? Like, why not have a great average and make it as high as you can? But let's say if you shot 20 shells and you got 7 birds, Let me see here.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So that's a 35% kill ratio. Does that sound good? You know what I mean? That's really not, like, that's not that good, if I'm not mistaken on that. Right? Am I doing my math right there? So if, like I said, yeah, I'm doing that right. So 20 shells. And again, I'm not saying 35% is bad, but if you can make it better, why not, right? So I want to be, I would love to be in the 70s, right? That's some good shooting. That means, let's see, actually. I'm just doing a 7-bird limit and doing my math here. I mean, that is, let's do this. So 7 birds divided by 12 shells, that's 58. That's only 58%, guys. How many of you are doing that? How many of you are not shooting over 12 shells for a 7-bird limit? This is where we'll find out where the liars are at. You know, people, oh, they're in the decoys and you're shooting them up close in 20 yards. You should have a good, yeah, you should. But even guys that shoot them that close, I promise you, very few of them have this average. I've hunted with a lot of people, guys. You know, nerves can get to you. The environment, meaning you hang up on a branch or a stick, there's always something that's trying to mess your shooting up. 12 shells for a 7-bird limit is only 58%. I'm not saying only as in that's not good. It is good, but it's not as good as it sounds when you start doing the percentage, right? So let's see, 10 shells, which should be 70%, right? Yeah, so 70%. To get to 70%, I have to average, on average, shoot 10 shells for my limit. 10 shells or less. That's an incredible kill ratio. Have I done it? Yeah, I've done it several times. A lot more than I used to because I've taken all these things serious. I got a shot cam to help me see where my misses are. I've got better choke, better ammo. Practicing, I have not done that as good, but that's why I want to see what I can do this next year if I spend as much time at the sporting clay course as Jimmy's saying. I do believe I can bring that average way up. So just a challenge. I kind of want to do a whole episode on that, to be honest with you, is percentages and shooting. But I'm going to write that down because that needs to be talked about, and that might be actually something. I know we've talked so much about this with Jim, but like I feel like that's another kind of just something separate. But anyways, all right, let's move on. And that was all just on when I was talking about patterning. All right, another great off-season thing to spend time It helped duck season speed up is camping. I don't know how many of you out there, but I assume most hunters love being outdoors, and most hunters probably have camped or do camp or camp a lot. It's so relaxing. It's such a reset. I work a lot up in the mountains now and drive up a lot in the mountains and work up there and hike and stuff with my job now. And I love it. And I was in some special places to me yesterday that was just so like relaxing. Just the smell of like the trees and the forest and just that smell always, like, you know, when you're a kid, you smell something, when you get older, it reminds you of that environment. It takes you back to that. That takes me up to camping, like that smell. And the thoughts that I have about that. And just, I told Sarah, I go, I feel like, you feel like at peace or something. I'm not explaining it. It's kind of weird. It's like your happy place, right? For lack of a better term. But I love to camp. My wife, not so much. She likes it. She just don't like it in long stretches. But we've already actually went camping once this year, like a month or two ago, which was really a blast with my brother and his wife and kids. Just a short trip, but we're going to be doing a lot more of that. The kids got some dirt bikes. Just bought my daughter a little 90, a Yamaha 90, TTR 90, which she could get a little bit bigger one, but she's new to riding. She's ride quads and stuff, and she's had one for a long time, but she's new to the dirt bike, so I just want her to learn, and it's easier with her feet flat on the ground. My older daughter has a 125, a Honda 125, and we do that, and we do that with our whole group, guys. I feel like so many people listening to this podcast would love to be with our group of people. We have such an amazing group of men and women around us and friends that we've grown up with our whole lives that are tight, tight, tight. Like, think of your best friend. I have like dozens of those, right? Like, that I'm not like super tight with, and we have a good time. We go camping, we do all kinds of things together, and Plague Moon. Any of you out there heard of the domino game called Moon? I'm just curious in the comments. Comment below if you have. A lot of people haven't heard of that game. Play dominoes with the dominoes, right? Dominoes is a fun game. Play card games. We hike. We fish. We, you know, what else do? We shoot when we go up there. Shoot handguns. Shoot shotguns. We do so much stuff. We go on big hikes. I didn't go nothing last year, but the year before we went on a gnarly hike. But anyways, so we do that. Camping's fun. Make a campfire, even if it's kind of like glamping, a little bit fancier and glamorous camping. You know, even if you're going to your trailer, and because we'll go in tents and all that stuff. But like, it's just getting out there, having a campfire and relaxing and sitting around the campfire and doing all that stuff. Eating a bunch of bad food and snacks and junk. It's just fun, man. So that's something else you could try if you have never tried it. Fishing, bass fishing. I did it heavily, heavily 3 or 4 years ago for a couple years. Heavy, like too much probably. But fishing, bass fishing, trout fishing, those are so fun, so relaxing. It definitely helps speed duck season up. I promise you that. And I will say this, I've always said this for a long time. Setting the hook on a bass is the next best thing to shooting a mallard in the face when he's decoyed. Like, that's the second best thing to me, is setting that hook. Like, it's addicting. It's an amazing feeling. Going to get out and do some of that. Jake wants to learn and to go. So we've decided to go together, and we were supposed to go a couple times, and then the weather came up and wind. It's just like, I'm not big on going out in the heavy winds with the big old 2 foot rollers. I know you can do it, but it's just not my deal. Not that hard up anymore. All right. Another one is honeydews. Speaking of honey, my wife was walking in front of me just across right now. And it reminded me of some things that I said I'm going to do this off season that I got to get done. And it's a good time to do it. It's kind of a good little deal to make. That's what me and my wife, I don't know when that was. Maybe that was probably only like 3 or 4 years ago when we decided, like, I told her, hey, look, I'm not going to do nothing during camping or during hunting for the most part. As far as that stuff around the house or the inside and some remodeling this and that. But during the off season, I will do it. So I've definitely got a list I got to do. It's a good time to get done. It's a good deal to make with your wife. Like, if she wants some stuff done, like, okay, this is when I'm going to do it. But when this time comes, I won't be as readily available to do it. And it works out good. I don't know. Try it out and see what you guys think that works for you. Maybe you're better than me and do it all year round, but that's just kind of the deal we made. My yard maintenance, like getting that stuff done, and you know, wintertime, everything goes stagnant anyways and doesn't hardly grow, so you don't have to worry about it as much. But come spring, right after duck season's a great time to trim the trees and get everything cleaned up and picked up and looking nice again. And I did that. Man, it was right after duck season I did it. Man, I was so glad I did it because I should be good the rest of the year as far as the outside goes because I take care of that. But it's a good time to do that. Lastly, and I've dropped the ball for sure the last couple of years with Rocky. In fact, my job now, he can go with me. I'm going to start taking him so he can get some exercise on the roads and stuff. Oh, boy, he's getting heavy, and he ain't getting any younger either. Neither one of us are. So I'm just – I was actually – I don't know if I told you guys this, but I was going to get another dog this year, but I just couldn't get myself to do it because of the work that goes into it. It's like – and just having another dog, having two dogs, it's like, oh, my goodness. Ugh. It's like I like doing it. I don't mean to sound wrongly, but it is a lot of work, especially if you want a good hound, right? Like, that doesn't come by luck. Like, some of the things Rocky does, yes, they're just natural, like finding birds and sniffing them out and all that. I hope to goodness my next dog is like that, but like the work all between them and keeping them entertained when they're younger and training them right, it is a ton of work, and it ain't once a week or once a month. It's every day for the first year. So it's like, I'm just not ready. Honestly, I'm just not ready. And Rocky, you know, he's got plenty of life left in him, but he'll be 7 in November. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's sad, actually. But anyways, so dog training, getting that dog training in, getting your dog tuned up in the off season, man, I would know when I have done it, when I haven't, and my goodness, it will save you a lot of heartache during duck season. If you get your dog out and train him before duck season, I'm not saying you got to do it every day all off season, but for sure the month prior is getting them tuned up, getting them in shape, and it's good for their health anyways. And for you too, just because you've trained the dog to do something doesn't mean you're tuned up. Oh, man. You know, you're tuned up to be doing it properly. I could tell I was rusty in just commands and how I was telling Rocky to do things this last season. I'm like, man, that is not acceptable. So that being said, 2 whole episodes on multiple things, not to include all the things that you guys do that I don't do that help speed up the time. You tell me when I have time to do all these, right? Like how? There's so much to do. So we're at our 30-minute mark. I hope this helped a lot of guys, and I tried to give a lot of tips with all these things. So if you haven't listened to episode 1, you just heard 2, go back, listen to episode 1, or, you know, part 1, I should say, of off-season hobbies to speed up return of duck season. Hope to help you guys. I got to do better. I know I do. I got to shoot more, train more, work more. There's lots of things I need to do. So just let's encourage each other. Let's get these things done. And let's be ready for next duck season. I'll see you guys on the next one.
We're excited. Let's go, baby! Woo!